Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Yesterday, I had on the program Devin Shod, who did an amazing job talking about, well, his life, his ministry, his apostolate to men, and especially to fathers and the Fathers of St. Joseph ministry that he has, and books and talks and so many things that he was doing. Very, very enjoyable. Today, there's someone that I'm pretty sure you've heard of, Jason Evert. He has gone around and spoken for years about chastity, and he is my guest. We'll get to him in a minute. Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com. Welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you. Let's begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name. We thank you and praise you for who you are and for all that you've done for us. And Lord, I ask that you would give us your grace, you'd give us blessings, you'd show us your mercy, Lord, for we do love you, but we long to love you more. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Saturday is the Seattle Men's Conference, Iron Sharpens Iron, at our Holy Rosary, at Holy Rosary in Edmonds. It begins at 8 o'clock with Mass. It goes until like just after 4 in the afternoon. It's a day that could change your lives, men, if you're able to get there. I'm in Spokane, and it's 4 hours, right? Well, maybe 4.5. Well, if you leave early in the morning, 4.5 will definitely get you to Edmonds, to Holy Rosary, and to be blessed by having the chance to interact with not just Jason and Devin, they're the primary speakers, but Bishop Elizondo is doing the opening mass. Ron Belzer, our own Ron Belzer from Sacred Heart Radio, is the MC for the event. It's not too late to register. Actually, today is like the last day to do online registering. You'll have to go to the website, seattlemensconference.org, seattlemensconference.org. Go to that website. You can register for the event. I think it's until noon, and then you'll have to register on site. All right, let's get to the interview. Well, and welcome to the program, Jason Evert. Jason has been so generous. Jason, I'm convinced this is going to be the best interview I've ever done, because it had to overcome obstacles that I've never had to face before in actually breaking through to the interview with you.
Oh, my. Well, happy and honored to be on with you.
Yeah, how's that for a high bar, right? This better be good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. If, best one ever.
Folks have no idea what I'm talking about, but I was supposed to be interviewing Jason yesterday, and I mixed up my dates. And so they're like, hey, where's the link to the interview? And I'm like, isn't it tomorrow? And I'm like, oh, no. So I couldn't make it. And then I'm like, okay, I'm going to lock this thing down for the time that we had. And I'm in the car. My daughter got left behind at school. Her ride didn't happen. And so I'm like, oh, I'll run down there and pick you up. And I'm like, oh no. So I missed our starting time. I got back and I just cast a message of mercy over to Jason. And he's like, all right, I'll climb into the interview. So Jason, I'm telling you, God's going to do something really powerful here. And I just want to tee it up. I just want to set up you to be able to speak the word that's going to move men in particular, but everyone listening, to take a step forward in their life of faith, and for the men to come to the men's conference happening this Saturday, folks, at Holy Rosary in Edmonds, where Jason's going to be. So Jason, with that as the lead in, I just want to say this is I don't want to say it's an exciting time to be a Catholic, but this is a momentous time for so many different reasons. And I just wanted to say to you, in what ways would you consider this a momentous time to be a Catholic man, raising a family in faith and being a man who is living an apostolate that is facing the challenges that the world has?
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the most obvious one that comes to mind is the new election of Pope Leo. I mean, nobody that I know saw that coming, but that's obviously super exciting to see what's going to happen there and the Holy Spirit's going to do through him. But from a different angle, I remember reading a writing of a Bishop Thomas Olmsted called Into the Breach. And in it, he talked about, imagine at the end of the time, all the saints are assembled and they consider all the battles they fought. And then they look at, you know, the men of the 21st century and they said, oh, but those are the men who fought the beast up close. You know, the stakes were so high there, the temptation so great, the battle so fierce. We're given this opportunity, not only for a lot of temptation and things like that, but an opportunity for a tremendous amount of grace. This time in history where we've forgot what it means to be male and female. John Paul II said that we're beginning a task to rediscover the meaning of our bodies. And so in this time where the pendulum has just swung so far in one direction in terms of not even being able to tell what a woman is anymore and things like that, that what a great opportunity now to rediscover God's plan for masculinity and femininity. So instead of going all doom and gloom and everything going to hell in a handbasket, to me, it's a really exciting opportunity to be Catholic and rediscover the riches of the faith.
Well, Jason, I got to tell you, you come into Seattle and that's not just facing the beast. That's like going into the belly of the beast. All right.
It's like, missionary country.
It is. It's missionary country for sure. And I'm just thrilled you're here. Folks, I'm sure you're aware of Jason and his extensive ministry over the last 25, 26 years, speaking a word of chastity, modesty, purity, self-control, wrapping it in a wrapper of the theology of the body, speaking in a way that is attractive to so many young people, high school students, younger people. But you've gone so far beyond that. And Jason, again, for the books, the resources, the things that you do when you come and you speak at places all around the country, now you're speaking to men. And I also want to, I want to bring up something else that you're involved in. And folks, go to chastity.com. You can get access to so many incredible riches of things that Jason has produced through the years. You have launched into this dimension of ministry that involves pulling kids, and well, not just kids, but pulling Catholics away from screens, away from the digital world and back into nature, back into God's majestic creation through camping trips and hiking trips. Talk about JP2 Trails.
Yeah, I did a pilgrimage years ago, maybe 3-4 years ago in Poland. And I asked the organizers, hey, can we just have one day to get up into the mountains where St. John Paul II used to teach young people love and responsibility? And so we did some research and found something called the John Paul II Trail. And so we literally hiked the trail that he used to hike. And I pulled out a copy of his Love and Responsibility book. And I taught it to the young adults on the trail. And it was just such an epic experience. Like, dude, we got to do this when we get back home. And so we did another one in the Rocky Mountains. And we just announced it on social media. Hey, we're going to lead a backpacking trip. You know, sign up here if you're interested. We got like 250 applications in the first 48 hours. And it just showed me there's this thirst for Catholic young adult singles to get out into the mountains, to meet each other and spend time in kind of the cathedral of God's creation. So we've done them in Colorado, up to Montana and Canada. I just got back this last weekend from Yosemite. We had another one just this last weekend also in another speaker, Paul J. Kim, was doing one for us out in Austin. We've been to the Channel Islands, and our next one coming up is in a month in Switzerland. There's still some spots on that if people want to go hike with us in the Swiss Alps. And then this Italy, we're going to do this summer some trails that Blessed Pier Giorgio Frassati used to hike himself before going down to Rome for his canonization. So it's just a really neat opportunity just to go out in the wilderness with an awesome young solid priest and a bunch of other Catholic young adult singles and get to discover God's plan for human love through the thought of St. John Paul II. So we've got the website, jp2trails.com, and the information's all there.
You know, Jason, folks that have followed me on my program here, they walked with me through the Camino last fall, and it was a gracious disruption in my life, very powerful. Yeah. And I want to encourage you to consider, find a way to get a Camino length, do the Camino if there's any way to do that. You'll get town to town, right? But you also have all of that encounter with that. I love what you said, that cathedral of God's creation. But so very powerful. And my daughter, she actually invested, my oldest daughter, she's 25. She was on Catholic camps. She was in leadership of Catholic camps for in the Archdiocese of Seattle for almost 10 years. And it changed her life. And she's actually writing a book on it. And her own passion is that it is one of the antidotes to this generation's addictive bondage to smartphones and in the digital world. So I just want to like lead into that a little bit and say, okay, you're going to be talking to these men this Saturday, right? Guys, saddlemensconference.org. You can sign up and see Jason at Holy Rosary in Edmonds. It's going to be an epic event. The challenge that men have today, how it has been exacerbated, it has been amplified through the addictive quality of smartphones and social media and just the digital world. Talk about how that challenge has changed over the course of the arc of your own life in ministry.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in high school, I'm honest with the guys that I had struggled with things like pornography back then. But the thing back then, like, you got rid of it and it was gone. Like, it wasn't going to show up in your pocket the next day. It wasn't going to pop up on every single ad and every single social media. It just wasn't a factor. I mean, nowadays, you give a 14-year-old kid a smartphone, and if you don't have adequate filtering on that device, I mean, I don't even know what I would have done at the age of 14 with that type of access to that type of content. And the challenge is the young people are so far ahead of the game. I mean, you've got parents who don't even know how to, open an email attachment, and their kids like hacking into the Pentagon's website for fun after school. It's like, we got to catch up, and it can be overwhelming as a husband and a father. We're like, okay, what am I supposed to do here? How do I keep my family safe? How do I keep myself safe? And so we'll be diving into some of those tips over the weekend of what we can do as men to, in a sense, put a guardian over our own senses. There was a saint who said that your soul is like a majestic castle with five entry points being your senses. And if we don't have a sentinel, we don't have a guard over those senses of our eyes, of our ears, then the enemy can enter in and take possession of the fortress. And so we're going to talk about how to build up those defenses, how to live it out on a day-to-day basis, and transmit that message to our own families.
So Jason, this is like frontline stuff for you, not only in your ministry, but you're a husband and father of eight kiddos here on earth. I know that you've also had some kids that have gone before you into heaven. And in fact, I think we both have kids at Franciscan University right now. So I've got four there.
I've got two heading there in the fall.
Nice. Oh, that's really awesome. Okay, well, they're gonna bump into my three that are still there.
Great place.
Well, and here's the thing. We sent them there not because of the academic rigor, but we ho hope for and expect academic excellence. We sent them there for the Catholic culture that's there, for the spirit and atmosphere that exists among the kids, that these young kids, I'll have, my son, I call him up and it's like 11 at night and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, Dad, can I call you back? I'm finishing a rosary with my roommate. Where do you get that? Right. I mean, come on, like, let's go. Right. And he's part of a household called the Defenders of Purity. Like, come on, let's go. And so just that idea that at the importance for a husband and father to be thinking about how do I shepherd my kids into adulthood? It doesn't just involve the time that they're in the home, but even it involves in a really crucial way, the choice of the college that the kids are going to be at. That's my experience. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I mean, w without a doubt. I mean, there are probably more than 200 quote unquote Catholic universities in America, and I'd wager maybe 10% actually deserve to have the name Catholic on the buildings. In fact, there's secular universities like Texas A&M or University of Lincoln, Nebraska, University of Illinois, where the Newman Centers are so solid, I'd rather send my kid to that secular university than to the majority of Catholic universities that aren't living it out in their curriculum, on their staff, or on their campuses. But yeah, Franciscan is on
this short list. There's other great ones out there: Benedictine, University of Mary, Thomas Aquinas, John Paul the Great, Benedictine Belmont Abbey. I mean, there's some good ones out there, but I'm a little biased. I'd have to say Franciscan is top-notch, because it's one thing of what you're going to get in the classroom. Is that really in alignment with the church's teachings? But then that's not where we're spending most of our time. Most of our time is, with friends and in the dorm and in studies. And if you're around a truly Catholic climate, well, friends are like elevators. They either take you up or they're going to take you down. And we always become like our friends. I mean, you think St. Francis of Xavier, who was his college roommate? It was St. Ignatius Loyola. Now, well, that kind of helps. So there's so much power in going to a Catholic university that truly has its faith and its identity rooted in what it should be.
Well, and I would even say, we're at sort of, let's call it the second generation at Franciscan, right? So you went there, my wife went there, and so many of the kids that my kids bumped into when they started going there, well, guess what? Oh, they were the kids of my wife's classmates. And so a bunch of the, a bunch of those folks, guess what? They got married and they raised their kids in an intentional Catholic home with the spirit of faith and atmosphere of faith. It's not perfect, right? Not perfect, but it is elevated. It's a level of intentionality. It's a level of commitment that we want our kids hanging around with those kids, and we want them hanging around the dorm saying, "You did that? Oh yeah, well, look what we did," right? I want my kids hanging around with kids where they call me up and say, "Dad, we got to up our game. They do way more than we did. Like, they were on their knees praying the rosary in Latin every night," right? So that kind of elevation of things is so crucial, to be able to get our kids launched into the world. And I got to tell you the fruits of that, Jason, it's like if you get the college part right, like my oldest daughter, she comes back into our home and she critiques me and my wife, Carrie. She critiques us and says, like, "You guys have way too much exposure to the digital world and video than you should. Like, wow, why are you letting the kids watch this Netflix show?" And it's, I mean, and we think we're like in the top couple percent of pretty rigorous and vigorous around safeguards and boundaries. And she comes in and says, "These guys just don't need that much access. They just don't need that much time with devices." And again, I mean, my kids didn't have smartphones until they went off to college. And even then it was protected. But they had dumb phones when they got them finally, like their junior year in high school. So it's like we're pretty dialed in, and yet still to have that sense of saying, "No, wait a minute, you can have young adults come through a college and then end up saying, I don't need what parents think kids need to be equipped for once they get out of college. They actually might be ahead of us in realizing that that's a time suck and it's a deadening effect, and I just don't want to be there."
Yeah, a friend of mine, we were talking, I believe it's Wyoming Catholic College has like a
Oh,
no
yeah.
smartphone policy on campus. And a friend of mine went there and he walked into kind of like the diner cafeteria area. And he said he just stood back and I was like, it's the weirdest thing you could imagine. You had 100 plus college students talking to each other. Nobody was on a screen. Everybody was in communion, in conversation, laughing and joking. And I mean, you go to a normal campus and you pop in there, and it's like 99% of the people are just buried in their screen. I mean, so disconnected. A friend of mine, Justin Schneer, has started up a scholarship program through this thing called Humanality, where he's giving like $10,000 scholarships to kids to not use a smartphone during college, just because he wants to for them to just rediscover the experience of just human connection, which we've lost. And so, I mean, I'm talking to you on a smartphone right now. I'm not like, okay, technology is all evil, but yeah, the beast has got to be tamed for sure. Because I've noticed when I've done things like Exodus 90 and I've kind of unplugged for a good chunk of time from excessive use of the phones, even my family and my kids notice like he just so much more present in the family. And you don't even realize it when you can't even walk from one room of the house to the next without pulling out your phone and checking the screen. What's the score? Did I get an email? Do I have 9 text messages to answer? We get so disconnected while convincing ourselves we're so connected because we're on all these different social media apps or whatever. But yeah, there's a lot of wisdom in unplugging.
Yeah, I think we live in an age of distraction. I mean, just a lot of what I would consider use of the phone is just a pure waste of time. It's really just not needed.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
So Jason, you're out and about doing many things in ministry. You get a sense of what's going on in the Catholic Church right now. You're coming here to Seattle this weekend to speak at the Seattle Men's Conference. Guys, go to it. You don't want to miss it. Jason will have a lot of resources there for you to be able to pick up. Chastity.com will give you a visibility to what they are. Jason, what would you sense is a sign of what God is doing today? Like, what's a sign of the movement of the Holy Spirit that gives you a great sense of encouragement?
Well, I mean, you just think of what's going on with the young people. I was just this past winter speaking in Salt Lake City at the SEEK conference. What you're looking at here is a conference of, like, I think it was like 17,000 college students freely spending their time at a Catholic convention center for like 5 days to hear motivational Catholic speeches and worship and praise. And it's like seven, and that doesn't even make a blip on the mainstream media. I mean, if you had 1700 showing up in the Vatican to protest something, it would be all over the world media, but you get 17,000 college students showing up for Eucharistic adoration and prayer and rosary, doesn't even make a blip. And so, yeah, there's a lot of bad news you see on the media and things like that, but Catholic colleges are sprouting up, Catholic ministries, whether it's Word on Fire or Pints with Aquinas. I mean, there's Father Mike Schmidt's number one, you know, podcast, The Bible in a Year, number one app for a while was Hallowed, the prayer app. I mean, man, there's a lot of exciting stuff going on in the Catholic Church. So I think we got to, you know, temper our pessimism if we think that everything is just going perpetually downhill. There's lots of good news out there and more resources than ever to help us live out our faith.
You know, what about one of the things that I've sensed is the let's say the recovery of the supernatural. Like I think of encounter ministries, and in a certain sense, it's a particular form of Catholic charismatic renewal, right? The baptism of the Holy Spirit, these graces being stirred into flame, and you have this expectant faith for God to move in supernatural ways that can lead to breakthroughs that rational arguments or like sort of the long, slow process of building relationships and the witness of life. All of that can be, you know, things change when a blind person sees, when a deaf person hears, right? When a person gets fundamentally healed in you know, interiorly or et cetera. Have you seen or bumped into or had any exposure to that idea of the God moving in signs and wonders and deeds of power as one of the marks of what God's doing today?
Oh, I mean, without a doubt. I mean, I'm kind of spoiled in the sense that, you know, I speak to between 50 and 100,000 high school students a year, and I have more than 100 convents of nuns praying for the young people that I speak to. And so the conversions that I get to see on a daily basis, the way that divine providence comes through. I mean, on one of our JP2 Trails hikes, there was a young single mom who wanted to come on the trip, but she didn't have the money to pay the registration, the airfare, all that. And she's like, I need $500 even to make this thing possible, but I want to reconnect with God and my faith. And, you know, she knows, hey, the deadline's today for the deposit. I don't think I have it. She went to church and some grandma that she's never even seen before just walks up to her, gives her an envelope and says, this is from the Holy Spirit, and walks away. She opens the envelope and it's $500. It's the exact amount of money she needed to go on the trip. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit is alive. He's at work. The question is not, you know, is he speaking? The only question is, are we listening?
Men, that is beautiful. I love that. All right, now what about among men, right? So men's movements have kind of come and gone a bit, and it do you feel like I feel a sense of the call to be more prophetic, to stand up, speak out, and push back is a an invigorating of the call that men have today. You hear a lot of men's ministries identify like effeminacy, right? That sense of sort of spiritual softness and deflation and an aversion to what's harsh and difficult. And you have just a number of men and apostolates that are approaching men to say, kind of like man up, right? Man up and be willing to do the hard thing, be willing to embrace the cross. Do you have any sense of like being again the countrywide and even around the world sense of what God is doing among men today?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys just, we need a battle to fight. We do. And if we're not finding it inside the church and in our vocations, we'll find some fantasy battle, video games and things like that. You've got 28-year-old guys who, instead of embarking on a vocation, are still like sitting in their apartment playing Call of Duty video games and like, hey, I beat the final boss and I did this. Like, you feel like you're achieving something, but you're really not. I mean, you had mentioned effeminacy. I mean, Thomas Aquinas defined effeminacy as when a man refuses to let go of what is pleasurable in order to do what is arduous and difficult. And so it's a disordered affection or attachment to what's pleasurable. And I think pornography, unfortunately, has, in a sense, emasculated a generation of men. And we thought, well, every guy does it. This is just what you do. Nobody's getting hurt. And we make 10,000 justifications for it, but then we're only a shadow of the man that God is calling us to be. So, in the midst of all these temptations, struggles, addictions, what have you, we just have to remember, hey, programs are out there, the sacraments are here. We just need to take advantage of these resources we have to live out who we're supposed to be.
So Jason, again, I'm talking about Jason Everett, and Jason, you can find out about his ministry, his apostolate at chastity.com, chastity.com. And there you'll find just a breadth of resources, a plethora of resources, books, many books that he's written, as well as other links to resources that he provides. And I know Jason, you've been discerning like moving more into the digital world in a way that can be impactful to be able to reach a more of a worldwide audience. What do you sense God doing in your own life and ministry and apostolate these days?
Well, we've been kind of spoiled just as of a couple months ago. The former content producer of Pints with Aquinas, which is this hugely popular Catholic podcast by a good friend of mine, Matt Fred, his content producer became available for hire and we hired him full time. And so the guy's name is Josiah. And so he's really helping us to get our act together on a digital platform. Because it's really like a digital continent that we need to set sail to evangelize that. I mean, think about it. A few miles away, there's some kid sitting in his bedroom on his cell phone right now who goes to a public high school, who's never going to come to a church or chastity talk. How do we show up in that kid's feed? How do we show up in his life on his screen? And it's by cooperating and partnering with people like we have with this guy, Josiah, that understands algorithms, understand what TikTok needs to be fed in order to show up in these types of kids' feeds. And so we just need to become tech savvy. And so that's what we're trying to do through our YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, and other social media platforms to spread the gospel in a whole new and fresh way.
So, and do you is your sense of like there's a sense of stewardship you have over the theology of the body and its manifestation in relationships and chastity. Now that you've continued to grow yourself as a married man and a father of teenagers and younger, has that shifted at all some of your own like ministry approach, like with Kristalina in terms of do you guys ever do marriage retreats or couples retreats, things like that.
Yeah, well, through JP Two Trails, we're looking to plan trips for engaged couples, married couples. I've already done a father-son camp out, so we could do that one, from a father's perspective of getting out in wilderness with your teenage boys and having some fellowship and formation there. And so we have branched out in those areas. We do have a conference coming up in the distant future in terms of a marriage conference she and I are going to be speaking at. And so we are doing those stuff. But in the same respect, I feel like we're just rookies. I mean, we've been married 21 years, but I feel like I'm just at the beginning stages of learning how to do this. So, but yeah, we are doing stuff for parents, for married couples, engaged couples. I've done lots of pre-Cana or engaged encounter retreat weekends for them. So that's why the message of chastity is for everybody. It's not just for teenagers. We need to practice this virtue inside of our marriages. I mean, what does that look like? It's different than it is for singles, but that's why we're also doing the JP2 trails. I believe the church really has a grave obligation to create opportunities for Catholic single young adults to meet each other. We can't just give them an encyclical and some dating app. We have to create opportunities perhaps for these vocations to begin. And so that's one of the reasons we're launching all these wilderness backpacking trips.
You know, Jason, that I'll leave that one with you as what you just said at the end there. That's huge. And I say that as I'm a father of a 25-year-old, 23-year-old, 21-year-old, 22-year-old, 21-year-old girls. And, you know, okay, full of faith, full of Catholic faith, they're, you know, lovely in every way. And yet the idea of trying to find good, strong Catholic men who are able to lead and provide and protect them, it's like a desert. It feels like there's a sense of a Benedict option, right? You almost have to go where young adult Catholics are to be able to be around. You can't just sit, you know, in your hometown and hope someone shows up. And so I think that what you just said, that is a huge opportunity for ministries to step in and say, we want to provide a healthy place for vigorous young Catholic adults, men and women, to get together and have a chance to, you know, enjoy each other's company and do so in a healthy environment. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just ask your listeners prayers. You know, for that part of our outreach that got to do stuff way beyond what we could ever hope or imagine to kind of get not only these vocations started. One of the guys who came to our first trip in Colorado, he came again to our trip in Yosemite, but this time he came as a seminarian. And he said it was on that first trip that he really had confirmed in his heart that God was calling him to the priesthood. And so that's the beauty. It's not just a Catholic matchmaking service. It's an opportunity to get out into the quiet, away from screens, and to hear his voice.
Last minute, Jason, I want to respect your time. What would be your final message, invitation, SeattleMen'sConference.com coming up this Saturday? What would you want to end with?
I just invite you guys not only to go, but to bring other men, because men don't learn manhood from just like a curriculum or some program. Like, we learn it just from being in the presence of other good guys. And so not only to invite you to go, invite some other good guys to go as well. I know we've got some guy from the NFL that's speaking there. I think Devin Shod is an amazing speaker on fatherhood is coming. And then for those who can't come or happen to be female, I would just ask you, please pray for the conference that it would bear fruit that would last for eternal life.
Amen. That's Jason Everett, and he's very generous. Thank you for giving me your time today, Jason. Really appreciate it very much.
Happy to be on. God bless.
All right. God bless you. We'll see you.
Thanks so much.
Hey, welcome back to the program. I hope and pray that you enjoyed that wonderful interview with Jason Everett. And again, I'll say this one last time. This is about the men's conference that's happening this Saturday at Holy Rosary in Edmonds. You can go to SeattleMen'sConference.org, SeattleMen'sConference.org. You can still sign up this morning, and then you'll have to sign up on site. So you still can sign up if you don't make it to that website this morning. But go and get some other guys to go as well. And that'll actually be a great strategy, because one of the things that happens at men's conferences is that guys will often be inspired. They'll experience a bit of a breakthrough from the status quo, right? Like, oh, this is how I've been living. All of a sudden, I'm here and there's this really challenging message, and it strikes home, and I'm and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna be different now, right? But then you leave, or I leave, and then I get immersed back in my day-to-day life. And who is there to walk with me? And it's funny because the standard practice at these men's conferences is that the last talk is going to focus on where do you go from here? What do you do next? What happens after this conference ends? And the word that shows up probably the most in all of that is accountability, and how men really benefit from accountability. Just as a for instance, one of the great tactics to help people get stuff done is give them a deadline. Give them a deadline. Right? This has to be done by 3 o'clock. Go. And all of a sudden, there becomes a fire. Light a fire under that person to get stuff done. Hey, here's a real life example. My 16-year-old daughter was behind in her math homework. She had not turned in some assignments, and I had encouraged her. I had offered her my support. I had told her that there would be punishments in place, so there's accountability regarding her ability to go hang out with friends. And it was simple. Until you catch up in your schoolwork and you have certain grades, you're just not going to have a chance to get together with your friends outside of school hours. And for whatever reason, this wasn't getting the job done. Even that level of consequence, right? The reward that she was missing out on and the punishment that she was experiencing. And so the day arrives when one of her good friends' older sister is getting married. And she has been so looking forward to this wedding and the reception, to be able to get dressed up and to be able to celebrate the beautiful nuptial mass. And then, of course, to enjoy the reception. Okay, so she wakes up in the morning. I actually wake her up and I say to her, just want to let you know, as of right now, you're not going to the wedding. I said, your ticket into the car, your ticket to get to the wedding is the completed homework assignments, all of them. You got to get them all done. And if you don't, that's fine. That's your choice. But the result is that you're not going to the wedding. Let's just say she got every single assignment done. That is a level of accountability in the form of setting a deadline. And well, the interesting thing was she also needed support. She wasn't really clear on how to get all of the math done. Oh, by the way, there are these wonderful AI apps that will say, take a picture of the problem and it'll give you a step-by-step set of, a way of solving the question, which is wonderful on the one hand, but it's terrible on the other hand, because it doesn't teach you math. It teaches you how to use an AI tool. So she had someone instead. One of her older sisters sat down with her and said, I got you. Let's do this. And so what she was not willing to receive from me, which was that kind of support in doing the math, she was able to receive from her sister. So she received support. She received some encouragement. And I was holding her accountable. And so it got it done. And it took all three of those like ways of loving her. And that's what it is. All three ways of loving her to be able to get the job done. So men going to the conference, when you're done and you're stirred up and you're saying to yourself, I am going to change. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to deny myself more. I'm going to offer stuff up more. I'm going to renounce and repent of these misdeeds and these attitudes. And I'm going to take these other steps to grow in faith and to live more faithfully and virtuously. Well, that's a heavy lift. And doing that on your own, doing that on my own it can be a recipe for failure, right? We can get more discouraged if we take on all those things by ourselves. So you can see where this goes, right? So, hey, guys, you need an accountability partner, someone to keep you on track, but you also need someone to support and encourage you. And who concretely is going to do that? Well, it's somebody that you know, someone that if you're going with somebody, then all of a sudden, once the event is over and you're leaving, you leave together, and then you can talk about, okay, what are the commitments we're going to make together to be able to allow the grace that was given, the seeds that were sown, to be able to bear fruit, because that's what we want. We want these seeds to bear fruit. And so go with someone else, go with several guys. I know it might be awkward on the way in and like doing the invitation, but it's a huge blessing that will come on the other side. So one of the themes that showed up on both days, and it's a theme that is really big for me right now, is this theme of effeminacy, or what's an authentic understanding of Catholic godliness that is also a manliness. So for men, becoming godly, living a saintly life, isn't soft. It isn't it's not dancing through the field of flowers. That's not what it looks like. And if you think that's what St. Francis did, you got to read the life of Francis, who fasted and prayed. And when he experienced temptations against his purity, he would throw himself into a thorn bush or throw himself into a pond of frozen water, like ice cold water, as a way of taming his flesh and of violently attacking those sins that would potentially diminish or lead him to betray his own relationship with the Lord. That's the extent that he went through. I'm not recommending you throw yourself into thorn bushes or into freezing cold ponds of water. Though, interestingly, you have these ice plunges or ice baths that have become popular and are ways of, I don't know, I guess there's some therapeutic value. I'm not here to talk about that, but that was not why St. Francis was doing it. He had something that was holy in mind. And if I had to characterize his approach to growth and holiness, it was those four, I'm going to call it four facets, the four facets of this manliness that is also godliness in his masculine way of living the gospel and his Catholic faith. It was vigorous, rigorous, generous, and courageous. Those four, I find those four wonderfully challenging, and also they place a vision in front of a guy that you get it. You hear that out loud and you're saying, I can stop and I can ask myself, is my approach to getting in shape vigorous, rigorous, generous, and courageous? Is my approach to providing for my family, do I go after that goal with vigor, rigor, generosity, and courage? Do I seek to protect my family and lead my family with vigor and rigor and courage and generosity, right? Well, what about your relationship with the Lord? What about that? What about my relationship with Jesus? Is my living out my own relationship with the Lord filled with those traits? For me, that's the path for overcoming effeminacia. Why? I'll tell you in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. All right, so I mentioned that overcoming what I've been using as my sort of preferred phrase to effeminacy is comfortable dissipation. comfortable dissipation is, in a certain sense, the effect of effeminacia. And you remember both Devin yesterday, who was emphasizing magnanimity as a path to overcoming effeminacy, and Jason earlier in the program had a quick, right off the top of his head, or right at hand, a definition in Aquinas of what effeminacy was. So you can see that this theme has certainly made its appearance in men's events, that there's something lacking in how we Catholic men who are active in our faith are so quick to put up boundaries around the call or the inspiration or the initiative that would ask of us greater vigor and rigor and generosity and courage. We are just too quick to allow our comfortable lives, lifestyles, to hold us back from devoting more time, effort, energy, attention, focus on the Lord and on saying, what would it take for me to be more manly in a godly fashion and pursue saintliness in a more godly, in a manly fashion? And I'm faced today with things that just hold me back. I can remember, I just think about this in terms of where did I first hear about this? I have to admit, I first heard an extended reflection on this from Father Chad Ripperger. And I consider his mode of teaching and some of the content of his teaching to be not just off-putting, but even just misguided. But apart from that, he has done a wonderful job at drawing out of Aquinas certain insights and themes that he knows very well and can present very well. And it was from him that I first heard about the idea that men were struggling today to be truly masculine in a godly Catholic way as a result of this vice of effeminacy, the attraction towards softness, the attachment to pleasure, the unwillingness to embrace what is difficult or harsh, to give up. And this was one of the things he said. He said that one of the manifestations of effeminacy was that it would be associated with leaving behind, or that's probably not the best way of saying it, not leaving behind so much, but foregoing responsibility, that there was a certain pleasure of not having to take responsibility for something instead of taking responsibility. And he referenced, what did Adam do when confronted with the fact that they were naked and hiding from the Lord, that they had eaten from the tree? Adam blames Eve. He blamed Eve. Rather than standing in front of Eve and saying, this is on me, instead of saying, not that if she went first, it was because I wasn't watching over her. If she ate it, behind my back, I should have been more attentive. I should have been a better steward of that relationship. I should have been a better protector of her. And that's on me. That's on me. And then in addition, when Adam fell himself, he should have owned it, but be accountable, take responsibility. And he was unwilling to do that. And that's an effect of the fall, is that we prefer pleasure over doing the right thing. Or we prefer what is pleasing and soft and comfortable over what is the right thing to do, especially when it's difficult. And Father Ripperger brings up the idea that technology is one of the things that has increased this growth of effeminacy, this one of the sources of it today. is that there are so many men who work in circumstances that are just frankly comfortable. Let's just even say physically comfortable and not physically demanding. You know, you talk about desk jobs or jobs where you're sitting at your computer all day, or you spend a lot of time in alongside that is the use of technology. And using technology, as you know, it's just become ever more apparent in research, in messaging that's gone out into the world, and parents are being told about it, the dopamine effect, right? We have this dopamine addiction in this generation. And it's not just kids, it's us, it's adults, where we need that hit, that little dopamine hit that comes from scrolling on the screen and whatever your preferred source of pleasure is. It's not even just pornography, but it could be news, or it could be games, or it could be social media, or it could be just scrolling through short videos. It could be sports, whatever. There's still that little dopamine hit that gives us that immediate access to easy pleasure. And what does it do? It is demasculating us. And so one of the things that I was very happy with for my boys, they are 19 and 18. They both just finished their sophomore year in college. They went to college early, both of them, at Franciscan University. And this summer, I was like, oh, what kind of job should they get? They should probably get a job that's like an internship that is connected to their majors. So John Mark is studying theology. Hey, let's see if we can get him a church position. John Luke is studying mechanical engineering. Let's see if we can get him an internship at a technology company that, you know, utilizes mechanical engineers. And instead, what happened was they got manual labor jobs, and not manual labor washing dishes at McDonald's or at a restaurant. No, they are outside working in the heat of the day, 12-hour days, doing ceiling parking lots. So, and it's typically businesses, not so much driveways, but a big business parking lot, or even, you know, so whether it's a commercial industry or a government contract, they are out working hard, sealing the concrete or the tar. And I love it. I love it. And part of the reason I love it is that they're doing a hard thing. This is not easy work. This is physically demanding labor. And it is in a not a comfortable, soft environment. They're facing the weather no matter what. And what I love the most is they're expected to be up at 5 or 6 working, not up, but working at either 5 to 5 or 6 to 6. They work as long as the sun is up, is their thing. And the more hours, the better. Like last night, they called me and said, yeah, it was 6 o'clock at night. And I'm like, oh, that's so awesome. What are you guys doing? Oh, we're heading back. We just finished dinner. We're heading back for a couple more hours of work. I'm like, yes, I did like a victory lap. I'm like, that's what I want. That's what I want for my kids. And honestly, that's not something that I was taught by my father. My father, he was an incredible model of hard work, of vigorous, rigorous, generous, courageous working. But in some ways, he did that as a means of providing and protecting us, his kids. And he did involve us to some extent in that, but he wasn't someone that had like a lot of formation around how do I form my boys into men and here's how I'm going to do it. And honestly, part of that was just the fact that his dad died when he was 10 years old. And so he grew up in a home where he didn't have a lot of fatherly mentors. And so So my natural inclination as a father was to protect my kids from harshness and difficulties, and to wake up to the fact that that was not a good thing. Yeah. I mean, it's good to some extent, but there is such a thing as being overly protective. There is such a thing as being overly providing rather than saying, figure it out. it like saying, you know what? Do the hard thing. Do the difficult good, not the easy good. And that language has entered my life in the last 10 years, really because of this talk by Father Ripperger on masculinity. And it has taken root in my life, and it's something I'm learning about more and more and striving to implement. Go to the men's conference, because this theme is in fact growing and spreading wildly. All right, God bless. Oh, sorry, I'm at the end of my program. Join me tomorrow for more of the program.